righteous Lot if he didn't really know the Lord, if he hadn't come to know the Lord. But one of the things that we're going to discover, first of all, regarding Lot, this is the first point of his early days, that the Bible had to tell us he was a righteous man because there's absolutely nothing about his life that would indicate he was. Quite the contrary. You know, if we just read the Genesis account, we would come to the conclusion, this man did not know the Lord. I mean, this man was, you know, we would come to the conclusion, this man was really a louse. And that's just about the conclusion you'd make. But the Bible says he was righteous Lot. Now, I think right away we have maybe our first basic lesson that we want to get here out of the story of Lot. There's an awful lot of people walking around in this earth that perhaps know the Lord, and it tells us over in Timothy that the Lord knoweth those that are his. A lot of people walking around know the Lord, and nobody knows that they know the Lord. Nobody knows it. And that's why it tells us over there in Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Because that's the only way that I know and other people know that you know the Lord. You know, the Lord may know you're his, but the only way I know you're his is by the way you walk. And there's a lot of folks, you know, who perhaps do know the Lord, but they never show it by their walk, by their talk, by their behavior. Now, I want to throw that out as our first challenge for the night. Are you one of those persons? I mean, seriously, think about it. How about the people at your workplace or the people at your school where you might be, at your college where you're attending? So if somebody were to say, you know, you know Joe's a Christian? I said, Joe's a Christian? Really? You say he's a Christian? Boy, I never would have thought it. Huh? I wonder if that's true of your life and my life. You know, do we have distinctives in our life that mark us out as Christians? Or are we just part of the flow? And nobody, because that's the story of Lot. You know, he was just part of the flow. Abraham had some distinctives about him that marked him out as a man of God. But Lot, he just kind of rolled along, you know, with the flow. And no one recognized that he really knew God. Now, the next thing we want to notice, let's go to chapter 12 here and move on in this story. And we want to make a second point that's very important in his early days. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, notice that is in the past tense, because actually, if we were to go over to Acts chapter 7, we won't do that, but you remember Stephen, I don't want to, you know, get too much into the life of Abram. That's a danger. You start slipping into talking about Abram, you end up talking more about Abram than you do Lot, because Abram's a much more appealing character. But Stephen gives us quite a commentary on the life of Abraham over there in Acts chapter 7. And over there he clearly tells us that Abram was called when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. He tells us that very clearly, and you can check it out in Acts 7. So that's why it says the Lord had said to Abram, because at this point he was in Haran. But the Lord had already called him. He had already said to him, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. Please note this. And Lot went with him. Notice how the Spirit of God puts that in there. Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now, there's a second question we want to raise here. Did God call Lot to go to Canaan as he did Abram? Doesn't appear that way, does it? But nowhere do we read it. He called Abram, specifically tells us, doesn't it? But all it says is Lot went with Abram. It doesn't say that God called Abram. Furthermore, when they got into the land of Canaan, we read their notice that they came. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son. They came in, and notice in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to who? To Abram. Don't say a word about Lot, does it? The Lord appeared, but Lot was with him, wasn't he? Verse 4 told us that Lot went with him. Verse 5 says, Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son. But yet, verse 7 says, the Lord appeared to Abram. Did God appear to Lot when he entered Canaan? Well, it appears he didn't. Now, what's the second point, then, we want to make here about this character Lot? Our first point was, we wouldn't know he knew God unless the Bible had told us. You know, his testimony, his life, it was hidden. Now here's our second point. This man seemed to lack the conviction that where he was going was God's will for his life. You know, that God had really sent him to where he was going. Do you notice that conviction doesn't seem to be there? We could have gone to Abram and said, Abram, you know, why did you come into this land of Canaan? You know, it's a wilderness. It's a big nothing. Why are you here? I'm here, Abram could say, because God told me to come here. God called me. He said I should come here. Not only did he tell me to come here, but when I got here, the Lord appeared to me. And he said, I'll give you this land. God said this to me. Lot, what did God tell you? I mean, why are you here? Oh, well, I came along with Abram. Yeah, but what did God tell you about this? Well, you know, he really had no communication with God at all. I see a real challenge here. I wonder how many of us are moving along in our Christian life. We're going somewhere. We're not exactly sure where, but we're heading out there somewhere. We have no idea that God has sent us or where God's sending us to or what God expects of us or what God wants of us. Or, you know, we're just kind of moving along with Uncle Abram. You know, we're just kind of going along with the good guys. But we don't know exactly why we are or what we're doing there. We lack conviction. We lack that conviction of heart that says, God wants me here. God wants me to do this. God is moving in my life. God has plans for me. And this seems to be missing. And this is, you know, these points are important here to notice about Lot in his early life, because I think they tell us the story of why his life was such a failure throughout. Because he didn't have these beginnings. All right, let's go on. Let's go to verse 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And so Abram goes down to Egypt. And it's very important if we go over to verse 1 of chapter 13, you skip over to there. You notice that it doesn't tell us that it doesn't mention Lot when Abram went down to Egypt. But yet when we come to verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife with all that he had, and Lot with him. Okay, there's Lot again. Well, if Lot went up with him, then obviously he went down with him, right? For some reason, the Spirit of God just didn't mention at that point. But he went down with him. And that leads us to a very important point here now in this man's life. How much did Egypt influence it while he was down there with Uncle Abram? Did it have any influence? Well, you say, what do you mean? What should be the influence of Egypt? Well, Egypt, let's remember, was the greatest power on the face of the earth at this point. I mean, he came from a civilization. Ur of the Chaldees was a very advanced civilization for that day, but it was nothing compared to the civilization along the Nile River there in Egypt. This was we would call it a very advanced civilization. It would be kind of like going from North Africa when you're in the land of Canaan to the United States. Okay. You know, kind of that kind of cultural transition. There in Canaan, things were pretty wild, particularly out where Abram was located. He wasn't in the cities of Canaan. And to go from there to Egypt, into Pharaoh's presence, as Abraham was, right into the palaces of Egypt and into the culture and development of the Egyptian cities, was quite a change. How much did it influence Lot? Well, let's just go to the 10th verse of chapter 13 for a minute. We see something interesting there. Lot was making a choice as to where he was going to live in Canaan. They had come back from Egypt. He was making a choice where he was going to live in Canaan. You remember, there was strife between his cattle and his herdsmen, between his herdsmen and the herdsmen of his cattle and the herdsmen of Abram's cattle. There was a strife. And Abram suggested they had to split. And he gave Lot first choice. And so Lot is looking over the land of Canaan to make his choice. And I want you to notice what it says here in verse 10. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now notice this. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. To that. He wanted a piece of property that was like the land of Egypt. That's exactly what it says. He had a taste of Egypt and he wanted more of it. And he liked what he saw there. And so he wanted a piece of real estate like the land of Egypt. Now I think that shows us a third point about Lot. Lot very early in his life developed a taste for, let's call it in quotes, the finer things of life. He wasn't satisfied being a country boy, which is kind of what Abram was at this point. He didn't want to just be a country boy. He found out there were things there in the cities There were things going on that he kind of liked them. They had an appeal to him. He kind of liked city life. He liked what it had to offer. And that never quite got out of his blood. He came back to Canaan, but that was still there. It was very real to him. He couldn't quite get the world, the civilized world of Egypt, out of his bloodstream. It was there. It had a tremendous effect upon the choice that he makes here. Now, you see the challenge in this third point, don't you? I hardly have to develop this, do I? How much have you and I tasted of the good things of this life, of this world? We've tasted of it. Every one of us. There's a lot of good things out there. A lot of so-called fine and cultured things. A lot of interesting things. How much do they influence our decisions when we need to make them? Because Egypt had a definite, I want you to get the point, it had a definite effect upon his decision. Didn't it? A decision for his life that was going to affect his life. And it had a great effect on that decision. How many decisions do we make because we really have a desire to have the best things that this life can offer? We want, you know, the good things of this world. We don't want the bad things, you know. We don't want to become alcoholics. We don't want to become druggies. We don't want to go into that part. No. But we would like the nice things that this life has to offer. You know, we'd like that. And consequently, perhaps many times even we're not even aware of it, it has a tremendous force upon us when we make our decisions as to what we're going to do with our life as it moves along. We're really being motivated by that desire for the good life more than we are by what the Lord wants us to do. Now, another thing I want you to notice about Lot's early life here. This is his early life with Abram. His uncle Abram knew the Lord in a very special way. He had a lot of personal encounters with the Lord already at this point, this 13th chapter. He made mistakes. Abram was not a faultless man. But on the other hand, he was a man who had committed his life to God pretty well. You know, he was a man who was willing to venture into a land that he knew nothing about. He was a total stranger in this land, and he was willing to go, not knowing where he was going, because he believed in the living God. And he believed that God had a future for him, and God had a life for him, and he was just willing to step out for God. Now, you'd think that being, you know, moving along there with Uncle Abram and having spent this time with him, that he would have learned some very precious lessons from Abram. It's a strange thing, you know. This has always been a mystery to me in life. I guess it shouldn't be a mystery, knowing our human nature. Nevertheless, it is a mystery. Why is it that we learn so many bad things from bad people, but we learn so few things from good people? Isn't that true? I mean, it is. I mean, I look back on my own life. This is true. You know, it seems that, you know, with people that are traveling in the wrong direction, we pick up so many things. Something about them appeal to us, you know. But people that are living for God, for some reason, it takes us so long to have their influence get hold of us. And we notice this with Lot. He didn't really seem to be influenced much by Uncle Abram. As a matter of fact, when it came time for them to make a choice, their herdsmen were quarreling. And Abram was the one who suggested that they better separate. And it leads us to the question, why was Abraham the one concerned about the strife and not Lot? I mean, Lot didn't seem concerned about it. That his men and Abram's men were fighting didn't seem to concern him. It concerned Abram. And then we notice in verse 11, these most astounding words. To me, they're some of the most astounding words about Lot that you'll read in his entire life. Please note this. 13:11, tremendous verse. Then Lot chose, now don't stop there, because here we're getting a revelation of this man Lot. Then Lot chose for himself. Self. There's the clue for Lot. You know, he didn't say, Abram, you go ahead, you make the first choice. You're older than I am, Uncle Abram. I'll take what's left. I want you to have the best, Abram. You pick the best, and I'll get along with the fun. Oh, no. He looked around for the best. And he chose for himself the best. And in effect said, Uncle Abram, I don't care what's left for you. I got the best. You can sink or swim. You're on your own, man. I got what I want. You see the point here? You begin to understand the man. Self. He was a selfish man. You know, unless we learn early in our life, early in our Christian life, that God wants self crucified. That the basic secret of Christian living, the basic secret of the Christian life is to lay self aside. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others in you, in the life of each boy and each girl. Jesus has first place, right? Others, put yourself, put you last. And that'll spell joy. There is no one more miserable as life goes on than the person who is self-centered. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. And one of the great favors that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do for you when he saves you is to help you to put death to self. You know, we seem to think that denying self is a sacrifice. We seem to think that God is calling on us to do something that is a great sacrifice, to deny ourselves. No, it's the secret to true joy and happiness. The person who learns to live for others, to not think of himself, the person who becomes constantly self-occupied is the most miserable person alive. Always thinking of himself, making choices for himself, and wanting the best for himself, and always putting himself first. And this was the character of Lot. And therefore, I want you to see this picture painted right from the beginning. This is why we're going to see so many miserable things about Lot. Because right here is the seed. It's the beginning of it. The man was selfish. He was self-centered. He only thought of himself. And I'll tell you something. There's no greater contradiction in this world than a Christian who only thinks of himself. Because it's the total opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a total contradiction. The one thing that stands out about the Lord Jesus Christ is he never thought of himself. Right? He gave himself. That's what he did. That's what the Bible tells us. He gave himself. He gave himself for God, the burnt offering. He gave himself for you and I, the sin offering. But he gave himself. And for you and I to come along as a Christian and be totally self-centered, that's a total contradiction of the word Christian. A Christian should be anything but a self-centered person. A Christian should be a self-sacrificing Christian who puts others before himself and certainly puts Christ and God before himself. So that's the fourth point we want to see about Lot. Selfish man. One more point, and then we'll finish with our first lesson, lesson one, his early life. I want you to notice here in verse 11 a very interesting thing about Lot. Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And with great tears, he bid farewell to Abram and journeyed east. That's what it says, right? You know, it's the things that are missing in Abram's life that are just as important as the thing in Lot's life as the things that are there. You got to look, in studying his life, we want to look for the things that aren't there as well as the things that are there. And by the way, that's a pretty important point in the lives of each one of us, isn't it? It's not just the things that are there that need to concern us, it's the things that aren't there that ought to be there. The things that are missing. I mean, you know, it may be that there really isn't anything particularly, what shall I say? There might not be anything about us that you can particularly point a finger at and say, well, he's an evil man. But there are things that we know ought to be characteristic of it, and they're not. It's the things that are missing in our lives, many times that are just as important as the things that are there. And we notice that Lot leaves Abram, without any remorse. There seems to be none at all. It says, reading on that verse, it says, Lot journeyed east and they separated from each other. Almost as if from the moment he walked, he turned and left Abram, he thought of him no more. He was out of his life. We know that wasn't the case with Abram, because when Abraham, we're going to learn later on, when Abram heard that Lot was captured, he went to his rescue. He didn't forget Lot. Lot was very much on his mind. When he knew that Lot was in a city that was going to be destroyed, he pleaded with God not to destroy that city. Lot was very much on his heart. But we notice right from the beginning, and we're going to notice it all the way through the life of Lot, never once does he show any concern for Abram. I mean, he doesn't seem to miss him. You know, here's a man took him. He joined him way back there in Haran. Came with him to the land of Canaan. Went down to Egypt with him. Came back. Spent time with him. And he can walk off and just, you know, wipe the man out of his life. And of course, we have to ask some interesting questions here. We'll just do this in closing, our first lesson. When we go into verses 12 and 13, let's just look at them a moment. They left, they separated. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Or the thought here is that he was in a tent yet, so he wasn't in a city, but he dwelt, the idea is, among the cities. You know, he pitched his tent where he could see these cities, where they were within the surrounding area, and the suggestion is there in verse 12 that he could see Sodom. His tent was actually pitched toward Sodom. He was attracted to the city that God was going to destroy. It's very clear in verse 12 here. Verse 13. Notice what it says about these men. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. But Lot pitched his tent toward him. In other words, he was attracted to what was obnoxious to God. Amazing, isn't it? He was attracted to what God hated. And then, as this story goes on, I want you to notice after they departed from each other, Abram and Lot, when you get down to verse 18, it says, Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. Abram did this, you know. Out there in the country where he built this altar so he could worship the Lord. Let's check this passage here. What verse tells us that Lot built an altar to the Lord? Can you find that verse? No. He carefully pitched his tent towards Sodom so he could see the city. He was attracted to Sodom, but nowhere did he build an altar to the Lord. Do you see the weaknesses in this man before he ever, you know, really gets into life? They become very evident. So, we're not really, as we move on in this story, as we will in lesson two tonight, we're not going to really be surprised at what happens, because this man laid the foundations in his life for what was going to happen. You see, if you shut God out of your life, if you have more attraction to this world and to the things that you can see and the things around you than you do to the unseen God, you're just laying for yourself tragedy. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to occur in your life. There could be no worship. How could Lot worship God? You know, why would a man like Lot want to build an altar? When, you know who Lot worshipped? Himself. That's who he worshipped. And you can't worship yourself and worship God at the same time. You know, one has to go. One or the other has to go. And Lot was so interested in himself, in his ambitions, in his desire to get ahead, in his desire to be somebody, in his desire to have, you know, what the culture of this world offered. You know, he wanted to go in for everything that he could see, eat and taste and touch, and the world that was around him. He wanted it all, and therefore the unseen God was out of his life. He didn't give any thought to it, and certainly he couldn't worship. Anyone who lives in this direction has no time to worship the living God. Now, when we come back, we're going to look at his life in Sodom. We won't be surprised about it. He laid the foundation for it, but we'll take a look at it. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, how many of us tonight, if we're going to be really honest with you, have hearts like Lot? And maybe Lot isn't here in person, but his heart is here. It's very much alive. It's very much among us. Our God, use these scriptures to speak to us and to have a positive effect upon us, to change us for the days, whatever days may be ahead. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.